Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The Score!
I am sincerely disappointed that I'm leaving without the opportunity to finish what I was brought in to do.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's the voice of Tony La Russa. I'm David Hall with Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. We're talking White Sox. We're talking offseason. We're talking playoffs and Cubs as well. And we are now talking to our friend at USA Today, Bob Nightingale. He covers the league, and we go out to the guest hotline sponsored by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, David. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, what's going on, Bob?
So, Bob, let's start with the managerial search, and I think that we are at a point where a lot of us thought the Sox would eventually get, but they're there because of the disappointment of 2022, because the Tony La Russa experiment, if you will, from the viewpoint of a lot of people in Chicago, didn't work. It wasn't a successful one. How do you view it? I know that you have connections within the organization. I know you think a lot about Tony La Russa and respect him. But from your vantage point, how would you describe the last 2 years?
You know, I'm surprised all the all the venom against Tony La Russa. I mean, if you look at it, you know, it's 2 years. Last year, they won the division. They won the division for the first time since 2008. A marvelous job. And they got beat by the Houston Astros. Anybody's going to get beat by the Houston Astros. They weren't as good as the Astros. The Astros proved only Atlanta was better. So I don't care who is managing that team, and nobody's going to get more out of them. So, you know, people, you know, forget that. You know, this year obviously was a huge disappointment. You know, hey, he steps away, and, you know, with the health thing, Miguel Cairo takes over. You know, they start to play well. Then they fall apart under him too. So, you know, sometimes, you know, guys have to look themselves in the mirror. So, you know, you can't just blame this thing on one manager. I mean, it doesn't work that way.
Bob, is it roster construction more than anything else that stood out to you this year? Here's a team for the first time I can't remember, except for a strike or a pandemic-shortened season, a White Sox team since 1970 that didn't have a 20-home run hitter on it. Was it just a failure of slug by this team combined with injuries? Can they bring this team back the way it was pretty much in total and expect to compete next year?
No, I mean, they had so many things go wrong. I mean, you guys watch it, they're unwatchable. I mean, seemed unathletic too. Everybody seemed to be the same type of player. So, no, I think they got to, you know, pretty much blow that thing up and make a lot of guys available. You know, the guy the most value is probably, you know, is Tim Anderson, because he's got two option years left at a team-friendly contract. I would think he would bring the most. I don't think there's any way in the world they bring back Jose Abreu. Love the guy. You know, he still had a strong season. But you got to change things up in there. And I think they need a loud voice in that clubhouse, too, some guy to kind of lead and be the guy that they rally around. So I think they'll make a lot of moves this offseason.
So I want to get back to the manager for a moment, but the Abreu thing is interesting too, Bob. So let's start with the La Russa factor and moving on from him. There were the unorthodox moves. There was walking the guy on 1-2 count. There were some unusual lineups. And there's just the overall complacency that I feel like crept in because the White Sox did underachieve, but they weren't exactly going all out in the effort either. And that's on the manager to me because you tell players to go 75% to watch. And I think eventually that kind of mindset allows the complacency to creep in. And we saw a team that counted on, you know, their talent, the backs of their baseball cards, and they never lived up to potential. I do think they need a shakeup with a different mindset and a different culture. What I just described of the managers who are available, of the ones you think they might pursue, who comes to mind first? Who might be some of those managers that can shake things up and do things in a way that's more predictable?
Yeah, it's almost like you need a younger, you know, Tony La Russa back in the day. I mean, that's why, you know, I kind of questioned when they brought La Russa in. You know, I thought, hey, this guy's a Hall of Fame manager, everything else. But I think Tony wanted to be accepted a lot more, you know, by the players, so he wasn't the same guy yelling and screaming. Not saying you have to do that every day, but I think you need a guy that jump on guys. Brian Snicker did that with Atlanta this year. They were kind of mulling around, had a team meeting, and boom, they took off and never looked back. You know, we look at managers that can do that. You know, you look at a guy like Bruce Bochy. I mean, won 3 World Series for a reason. You know, was Bruce 65, 66? I don't know if they want to stay away from that sort of thing, but I think a guy like Bochy with his resume, you know, just brings that, you know, that kind of presence in the clubhouse. Mike Schilt, you know, won in St. Louis for a few years. You know, he's looking to become a manager again. I think they want to get a guy with experience. You know, if Alex Cora wanted to leave, if things had got so bad with him and Chaim Bloom, I think it would have been the perfect fit. I would like to see a guy like Carlos Beltran step in, but, you know, Beltran has an experience, and I don't know if they want to win right now. So I really believe they're going to go the route with experience.
This time around, how much will Jerry Reinsdorf, in your opinion, have an impact on who's hired? We know Jerry's always going to sign off on who's the manager. The last time around, it was his pick. How do you think the powers that are within with Kenny and with Rick and Jerry divided up as to the final say-so, final decision on this manager?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he's going to leave it up to, you know, Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn to pick the guy, and obviously he's got to approve it. I mean, even, you know, going back to La Russa hire, I mean, obviously that's who Jerry Reinsdorf wanted, but Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams sign off on it. I mean, if anybody was that disturbed, I didn't see anybody quit the organization and say, okay, I'm leaving. And they sign off on it and say, okay, it's your team. You know, Tony interviewed. Yeah. It wasn't like an interview. So, everybody's responsible. So same, you know, so same thing here. It's like, you know, it's Rick, this is, you know, Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams' decision. But, hey, and Reinsdorf signs a check. Said, if he doesn't like the guy, everything's going to work. They're not going to hire him.
I can't agree with you on that one, Bob. That one is that was a clear Jerry pick. If Rick and Kenny wanted to go somewhere else after the pick, that was up to them. But this was clear. And you're right. You said it in a more articulate way than I'm saying it. That no, this was his pick. And you know, Jerry's been involved in every pick of a manager. So I'm not asking for earth-breaking, you know, news about the idea that he's going to be involved. Jerry's always going to say, and he said this to me, and I'm sure he said it to you many times, you want to replace the manager, that's great. Now tell me, our next manager, why he's going to be as good or better, and then I'll go ahead and sign off on it. That's I'm sure that won't be any different this time.
No, I mean, what would have been very intriguing if La Russa didn't have the health problems? Would he have been back next year? I think he would have been. I'm not sitting in the front office wanting him back, but I think he would have been in this case. But, yeah, I mean, even trades, even free agent signings, I mean, that's the front office decision. But those things don't happen unless Jerry Reinsdorf says, okay, go ahead. I mean, he's the one writing the checks.
We're talking with Bob Nightingale from USA Today here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7, The Score, David Hall, Bruce Levine. Bob, you said something about Jose Abreu, who is as popular of a White Sox player as there has been since probably Paul Konerko. 9 years on the South Side, came over from Cuba, and has been one of their best players since the day he arrived. I don't know if the White Sox can afford to bring him back, but there's an element and there's a belief that maybe they can't afford to let him go either because of his leadership, because of what he means to the organization. They are stockpiled with designated hitters. But you were pretty definitive. You think that there is no way the White Sox bring Jose Abreu back to Chicago?
I guess I should say no way. I just don't see it. I think they need to shake things up in the clubhouse. Hey, he's a great guy. Is he a leader? I don't know about that. He was a guy, he did protect La Russa. He's very close with Tony. He loved playing for him. Other guys, some of our guys didn't. He did. I just think, you got to, clear out a space there at first base, get Bond over there, that sort of thing. Maybe make the team more athletic. Nothing against Abreu. And, he was great in Chicago, one of the best signs they ever made. But I think you got to stir things up in that clubhouse.
Bob Nightingale, our good friend from USA Today, breaks millions of stories, including the one about Tony La Russa not returning along with Dan Bernstein pretty much at the same time. Came up with this revelation. Bob, why not Ozzie Guillen in the mind of the front office? Why is he not being considered one of the most popular and productive managers in White Sox history around the team, doing pre- and post-game? Everybody thought until he went to Miami that he was one of the best managers in the history of the White Sox. Why not Ozzie?
It's almost like, why hasn't any other team hired Ozzie either? I think just because he's kind of a loose cannon, and teams get intimidated by that. They get afraid of what he might do, what he might say. Ozzie's his own man. Even when he got let go by the Marlins, I mean, he was younger then and stuff, and, he never really got a shot. I just don't think they want to go that route. I don't see it. I think they realize that, they're not in control Ozzie by any means. I'm not sure they controlled Tony La Russa either. They wanted more control. I'm not sure you're going to have control with Ozzie.
Bob, when you look at a guy like Joe Espada and you wonder about the succession plan in Houston, he's got a lot of respect and he will get a lot of interest and has already interviewed for managerial positions. What does the future hold for him, and might he be a guy the White Sox should take a good hard look at?
Well, just no experience. I mean, I know his name is banging about, but there's been a million job openings the last few years, and no one's hired him. So, why haven't they hired him? I think people have questions about him and things like that. There's even some debate in the Astros organization how good he is. So, I think where the White Sox are, you want a guy that's ready to take him to the next level. You don't want to go through growing pains with the manager. I think Espada would be much better off, in a place like, Miami or Kansas City.
Looking at the playoffs, I know you're in St. Louis covering the Phillies and the Cardinals. What a shocker you had to watch last night, those six runs in the ninth inning. David and I were talking about the Cardinals pitching, and if Jose Quintana is your number one right now, with Flaherty still, iffy and still coming back, are you really a team that should be considered going there? I mean, everybody's a day away from elimination in the wild card today.
Yeah, I thought that was the biggest mismatch of the whole postseason, that pitching matchup. But hey, give Quintana credit. I mean, he pitched great for them. They knew what they were doing. I mean, it's not their ace. I mean, they got better pitchers. The guy tonight, Mikolas is a better pitcher than Quintana. But, yeah, once again, the pitching matchup favors Philadelphia. I thought St. Louis would win this series just because something in October brings out the best in the Cardinals. They always overachieve in October. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, they don't have those horses in the rotation, and I think they're going to spend some big money this winter and go get that type of guy.
You know, Bob, you have the benefit of seeing how other teams operate throughout the league, and you have that perspective that I think is you take advantage of with your experience of being able to report and understand the cultures of all these organizations. And I say that because I'm curious about what your thought process is, what your thought is on the White Sox sticking with the status quo in their front office. You know, since Rick Hahn took over in 2012, 27 of the 29 other teams have had changes at the top, changes with their general manager. You look at they did in Kansas City, you look at Detroit, and you look around baseball, only Mike Rizzo and Brian Cashman are still in the job, on the job, when Rick Hahn took over. He hasn't won a World Series, and frankly, they haven't won a playoff game. So I wonder, I expected them to maybe consider making some changes that you often see in professional sports, in Major League Baseball. They didn't. Why didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's strictly Jerry Reinsdorf's loyalty. I really do. I mean, there have been some guys fired in that organization, in the front office, that, you know, they're still getting paid. Some guys are still in the media guide and with vice president titles. And the guy hasn't had anything to do with the organization for years. So, yeah, just strictly loyalty. I mean, a lot of people in baseball, you know, echo the same sentiments, like what's going on there? How can they have it, you know, turn that thing over? You know, been so many bad years since they won the World Series in 2005. So, but I just think that's Jerry Reinsdorf being loyal, you know, maybe to a fault sometimes, but you look in baseball, maybe all of sports, but particularly baseball, there's no one that has that kind of loyalty.
Bob, looking at Milwaukee, if Stearns becomes the president of the New York Mets, does that put Craig Counsell in a situation where he's close to being a free agent manager? And could he possibly be in the mix if there's a volatile offseason here where Stearns leaves to become the Mets president?
Yeah, I know Stearns doesn't have that opt-out. I still think the Upkin tool for him for one more year because they didn't get to the World Series, which could have triggered an opt-out. I don't see it. You know, Counsell's from Wisconsin. He loves it there. I don't think that, you know, big thing, if Stearns leaves, it doesn't mean he's upset. Doesn't mean they're going to tear down the organization and start rebuilding. They're not going to do that. I mean, Counsell would be a great fit. I completely agree. He was out there, you know, jump all over him. But I just don't see him. I don't see him leaving.
Last thing I have before we let you go, Bob, and I really appreciate your time this morning. Got to ask you about the Cubs. This is a big off season for them. You know, they finished 39-31 since the All-Star break. Their last 22 games, they were 16-6. A lot of young pitching that they feel optimistic about, and I think that we have heard Jed Hoyer, who's speaking Monday, vow to be aggressive this off season. We know they can afford to be aggressive. What do you expect in this hot stove period from the Cubs this offseason, and how aggressive they might be?
Well, I think they'll be aggressive. I think they're telling the world they're going to spend, and you know they got to get a shortstop. There's so many great shortstop out there. You know, I think the perfect guy for him is Xander Bogaerts. You know, he's going to opt out of his contract in Boston. Great guy, a team leader, obviously Hoyer. Knows him from the Boston days. So I would think, you know, of all the shortstops out there, he would be the perfect fit. And then, you know, to kind of build from there. You know, the one thing about, you know, I know the Cubs finished so strong, but, you know, as Bruce knows, you talk to scouts, and they say that two times that you can't get crude judgments are spring training in the month of September, just because it's a different animal. So, you know, it's nice feeling, you know, finishing strong, everything like that. But I don't think you can rely that, okay, these guys pitch well in September. That means they're going to, you know, translate to next April. It just doesn't work that way. So, but I would think it's been, particularly with attendance being down. And, you know, let's be honest, it's a winnable division. It's the right division to be in because the Cardinals never spend much money either, but, you know, but they win.
Bob, we appreciate your time as always. And keep up the great coverage, great ability to break stories, and we look forward to your next visit here, which hopefully we'll talk to you in the late playoffs and during the World Series. Have a great game out there in St. Louis. Take care.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, look forward to it. See you, David. See you, Bruce.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
A burst pipe, a dead water heater, the AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price void in Florida.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Each year, KellyBlueBook.com ranks vehicles on the road for predicted future resale value. And for 2026, Toyota dominates the top of the list. 4Runner ranks number 3. The Tundra is number 2. And the Tacoma is number 1 overall again. The fact is, Toyota works hard on both ends of ownership. With special low APR financing rates available on Tacoma and Tundra right now at your local Toyota dealer. But also because you're getting trucks that are built to lead in affordability tomorrow. 4Runner, Tundra, and Tacoma are all expected to vastly outperform the average vehicle in resale value after 5 years of ownership, according to KBB, which can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. That kind of affordability is hard to find anywhere else. So stop by your local Toyota dealer or visit Toyota.com and start shopping today. Projected resale value information is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Books KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported in 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.